It's Sunday night, and that can mean only one thing. It's time for your wrestling nostalgia segment. This week, we're going back to CM Punk versus John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011. It all gets started right after this. Check out shoptofind.com, and you can find what you're looking for. And there's a wide range of products from health and fitness to car parts, beds, furniture, and even fashion, home and garden, tools and hardware, toys and games. It's a new simple shopping search site to help you find products listed by smaller retailers. All you have to do is type in what you're looking for, and it will shoot you to where you want to be. All retailers that are listed also provide phone and mailing addresses and, of course, have secure sites. This website does not collect personal data from shoppers, and the entire site is SSL secure. So, again, that is shoptofind.com. Pretty easy, right? Shoptofind.com, and find what you're looking for today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Welcome to your wrestling nostalgia segment of the WWE Podcast on Sunday, July 28th, 2019. A fun one today, very fun one, and one that is more recent than my past topics. That's a good thing, because if you're a somewhat of a new fan and have followed since the CM Punk explosion back in 2011, this one is going to be one that is fun for you to revisit. And if again, if you haven't watched this match, it's one worth watching, and so many layers to really peel back on this, and we're going to get all of it and, of course, give you guys some audio so you can relive it with me. And it's fun. It's a blast as you kind of settle in on a Sunday, get yourself ready for work or maybe school, maybe doing some summer school or taking classes over the summer. Whatever you're doing, just sit back and chill and enjoy this show. I hope you do. And I hope you also check out my Twitter, which is at the WWE Podcast, and the website at WWEPodcast.com. A quick little announcement, something new heading this way, heading to your ears, will be more audio. Yeah, that's right. More audio. But it's not me that's going to be doing this audio. I am currently in the process of working out the details, but I believe I do have somebody in mind who will be doing NXT coverage for the show. And this is going to be somebody who I have full faith and trust that will be able to do this and doesn't need me. And you know what? That's good, because I honestly, truly do not have time to be doing any more wrestling shows nor watching any more wrestling. I simply just don't have the time. And it's also a great way for you guys to get a variety of hosts instead of me always on this show. Yes, I'm the creator, the originator, whatever, but I don't always need to be here. I'm totally fine with letting someone else steer the ship, so to speak, for a show or two. And maybe this will expand to more, but I need to be careful and not adopt the WWE ideology of more is better. Doesn't matter how much more, it's just always more is always better. But at the same time, this is an on-demand service. Every show, I believe, is a must-listen, but it's something that you guys can listen to at your leisure. And I believe most of you enjoy the show. However, I think it's good to just change things up completely once in a while and hand the car keys to somebody else and let them drive. And I think that's what I'm going to do for NXT. I'll be totally honest. I don't follow the product that much. I would love to, I just can't. So I think it's good to expand into NXT territory and NXT UK so that we can get a more holistic coverage for WWE. I mean, after all, this is the WWE Podcast. So just keep that in mind. It could be an episode or two that comes your way very, very soon. Maybe as soon as this week. I'm going to try to put on the episodes on alternate days that I'm not actually recording, so the new host doesn't get buried in my own content, and they get their own platform and their own day of their show being released. So I just wanted to give you guys the heads up, and I do appreciate all the interest from everybody who emailed me audio samples and their own websites, and maybe asking if I could do cross promotion, all these kinds of things that I really appreciated, and I really am humbled by it. I can only select one. I might do two. I get soft. I might do two, but for now, I'm probably going to stick with one and then see where things go. But hey, this is my show. I can really call the shots as I see it, and that's what's cool. But I also know that it's a show that I need to treat with respect and treat you guys with respect and everybody else that, you know, takes the time out to, I guess, quote, apply for this position. It's a cool deal that I get to really be in that position now and hand the mic to somebody else and let them take control. So, all right, well, let's continue here and let's get into the heart of this show, which is CM Punk and John Cena from Money in the Bank 2011. Now, just to set the stage on this one, this was 8 years ago, incredibly 8 years ago. It took place in Chicago. This was post-pipe bomb material. This took place after the infamous pipe bomb in Vegas. So CM Punk was already hot. And this also took place, notably, in Chicago, Illinois. So with CM Punk being from Chicago and John Cena representing all that is evil with WWE, you could imagine who played the heel and babyface in this match, or at least in the crowd's eye. While John Cena didn't actually turn heel, he was certainly the heel in the eyes of fans that night. And my God, the reaction. It was akin to, if you guys have seen, when ECW did their one night stand, I think it was mid-2000s, when the terrible WWE version of ECW. This was Paul Heyman's version, though. Paul Heyman was the mastermind behind this and had it in the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, where ECW was born. And John Cena came out to defend his WWE championship against RVD. It felt like that. Go watch that one. It was that reaction, but on a larger scale, because there were about four times the amount of people in there, in the arena in Chicago. It was deafening. You talk about a destruction of John Cena by the crowd. This was it. It wasn't as, well, you know, I didn't want to say that. It was as vocal as the night after WrestleMania 33, when Roman Reigns stood out there and said, "This is my yard now," after defeating The Undertaker. It felt that violent. It was rough. And I loved it. I loved every second of it. CM Punk was in the storyline going to be taking the WWE Championship and walking out the door with it because his contract was up the following day. And boy, oh boy, the crowd was into it. They were behind CM Punk, not just because he's the hometown boy, but because he lit a spark in the WWE, I do not want to say the word universe, in the WWE structure and fans, because that's what they are. They're not in space, therefore they're not in the universe, okay? Technically, we're all in the universe, but we are fans of your product, okay? We don't float out there next to the stars and all that, okay? So we are fans, and the fans that night were absolutely on fire. They were on fire for CM Punk being the hometown guy coming back, and it's a WWE Championship match, and he just had his promo in Vegas. It blew up the internet, and it's John Cena who embodies everything that's wrong with WWE, and CM Punk is the perfect storm for a perfect babyface that night. Now, I won't give you the finish of the match because, I know it's not really spoilers 8 years later, but if you haven't seen the match, I'd recommend that you do before you listen to the show. So, because everything after this I'm going to say is spoilers. Okay, you had your chance. So, with CM Punk beating John Cena that night, and a lot of signs that said, "If Cena wins, we riot," or "We've seen enough." I actually wrote that I remember I brought that to a WWE show once, thinking I was just so creative. But I had jacked it off of somebody else's sign that I saw in Raw the night or the week before. And I thought it was just so cute and clever. But John Cena that night was the ultimate villain. Because, as I said, he was the embodiment of everything that was wrong in WWE. Just, he's the corporate boy, Mr. Poster Child. He looks like the idolization and perfected superstar of Vince McMahon's dreams and wet dreams. And he is just the perfectly selected, corporately managed poster boy for WWE. And you had CM Punk, who was the complete opposite and wasn't supposed to succeed. He wasn't supposed to be in the position he was in. CM Punk should have just been, in the eyes of WWE management, upper management specifically, a mid-card guy that maybe occasionally made it to the main event, but was there to just put over whoever their real focus was, and then get kind of, you know, pushed and kicked back down to where, quote, he belonged. And CM Punk and the fans, who really decided this for CM Punk, said, no, no, no. What CM Punk's message and mission is of being the voice of the voiceless, and his frustration, his venting of frustration with the fans, or with WWE and its creative structure and everything else, after, especially after what you heard with Colt Cabana on his podcast, it was just a message that resonated with every single person that watched WWE post-Attitude Era, post-Ruthless Aggression Era, that was just kind of stuck in purgatory. Of, they didn't have quite the top star, other than John Cena being Super Cena and the five moves of doom. There really wasn't anyone else out there that seemed to be that next top guy. So it was kind of the Attitude hangover that just hung around, if you will. And so we got CM Punk, which was the fans being able to live vicariously through what he said and did. He looked like the common man. He didn't look like the corporate, not to be visual, but it's probably true, the personification of Vince's wet dream of what a professional wrestler should be and look like. Or, excuse me, a sports entertainer. Let's soften it a bit. And while I'm thinking about it, if you guys listen to the end of the show, I do have a little bit of a bonus segment for you, or bonus audio, really, of something that I want to share with you. And it's something that I absolutely love, and I almost did an entire show on it. But it's not from a wrestler, okay? It's actually from a commentator that went off. And it happened fairly recently in the last 10 years, okay? I watched it a couple of days ago. My God, did it just ring true? Oh my God. Okay, so if you guys listen to the end of the show, I'm not trying to, you got to listen and hook you to the end of the show. I'm actually just trying to keep this show a little structured and not break things up with stuff that I wasn't going to be talking about originally. So if you stick around to the end, I will give you guys that audio and some thoughts on it, because, whew, it's one of the best ever, in my opinion. Really, I'm not trying to hook you. If you don't believe me, just skip to the end and go, oh, that's what he's talking about. That was pretty good, right? Okay, so I'm going to take a quick break, though. And then immediately following the break, we're going to go right into some audio from John Cena and CM Punk at Money in the Bank 2011 in Chicago. And we're going to break this thing down, so don't go anywhere. So here's something you guys should check out. It's Rotella Resale. Right now, they're having their online grand opening. It's an online shopping mall with thousands of items in over 25 product categories. Jewelry, tools, electronics, kitchen and bath, hand and tote bags, collectibles, sports and outdoor, a full smoke shop, and much more. Unlike those giant box stores or massive retail websites, Rotella Resale treats you like family. All products are brand new and authentic. Use promo code PRESS, that's P-R-E-S-S, and you'll receive 20% off your entire order. Sign up for their newsletter and receive an additional 20% off. Just check out RotellaResale.com. That's RotellaResale. RotellaResale.com. Check it out today and get 20% off your entire order. Use that promo code PRESS. All right, welcome back. Thank you guys for joining me. And let's just jump into some audio from the match and give you guys a little bit of a feel, at least maybe even for the introduction. Just listen to the reaction. I'm not going to play minutes and minutes and minutes of this, but I want you guys to just get a feel with this, and then we'll roll into a little bit more of the match and the finish. So just take a listen to this. So you hear CM Punk's entrance here, and what I want to do in stark contrast is let you guys listen to the reaction that John Cena also got that night. So, you know, here's that entrance reaction. So you hear right there just how brutal the fans were to John Cena, and it was beautiful. It brought a tear to my eye. 8 years later, it is still just awesome to hear. Look, John Cena is a bit of a Roman Reigns. He has a bit of Roman Reigns syndrome, or rather, Roman Reigns has a little bit of John Cena syndrome, in that they're both the corporate selected choice. And they're both blatantly Vince's choice, and while it may not be the right choice for the company, the writers continue to write for Vince McMahon, and creative continues to write and direct their comments and their input on what Vince McMahon would want rather than what the fans would want. And I think that's a massive, massive, massive problem that has plagued WWE for 10 years, 15 years more, or maybe you can even argue the entire existence of WWE, that the employees of WWE are only concerned about making Vince McMahon happy, and it continues to rear its ugly head today, right? You have the writers in there who are just concerned about, well, oh, Vince loved it. No, just get a pat on the back, attaboy. I mean, is that really what you're doing rather than serving the fans? I would say the answer is yes. I would say the answer to that is overwhelmingly yes. They want to make sure their boss is happy rather than going against maybe what their instincts are telling them and saying, hey, maybe the fans want this. You want this, but does what you want align with what the fans want? And Vince would be the first to say, it's never what I want. It's what the fans want. Really? Okay, if that's the case, why did John Cena never turn heel when he had the opportunity? Why did Roman Reigns never turn heel? Would Daniel Bryan have ever come up had the fans not actually like forced your hand to bring him into the main event? Would CM Punk ever have reached the level he did without the fans? The answer to all of that is no. The answer to all of that is clearly, Vince, it's about what you want. And even if you think it's not, your employees, particularly the creative, however many writers you have, are there to make sure that you're pleased and understand your likes and dislikes rather than the fans' likes and dislikes. Anybody see the disconnect here? Anybody? Okay. So this match was a... when you talk about peeling back the layers, it's a WWE Championship match. The stipulation is if John Cena loses, he's fired. And it's CM Punk's hometown. It's years and years of frustration of the creative with WWE, as CM Punk is the embodiment of the fans' voices, and CM Punk or John Cena is the embodiment of the corporately selected, perfectly compressed, perfectly formulated professional wrestler out of Vince McMahon's wet dreams. That is seriously what's going on here. Argue with me, please. I know nobody else is here too, but I'm asking, do you guys think it's something else? Really? I don't know. So this is such an emotional match. The Chicago crowd is emotional as it is. They're loud as it is. It's the Allstate Arena, which is a great arena that I've heard from many, many, many legends that they love working there because of the acoustics of the building. And you could hear it here. You want to talk about a visceral reaction. And I know I didn't do it justice as you guys listened to that reaction on a third hand here, but it is just beautiful. It's a thing of beauty when you hear a reaction like that, and loved it. And John Cena, I think, knew that he was in enemy territory, as Michael Cole said. But I believe, even if it wasn't in Chicago, although that certainly magnified it, that it still would have been a very negative reaction to John Cena. Maybe 80-20, 90-10, rather than 100-0, which was awesome to hear. John Cena came out, and if you couldn't see it, it was John Cena with basically walking to the ring in a very stern face, no reaction, no salute, no, it's time to go to work, as he runs down the ring and slides in and then salutes the crowd. He held the championship up with his head down. It was great. It was beautiful. Loved it. So here's a little bit more audio from the match, and then we'll get to the finish. And as I promised, that bonus content's coming too soon. So here's a little bit more audio from the match, as you can gauge the reaction of fans as to what's going on and the commentary, which I thought was also very, very, very well done.
Wait a minute. There are some Cena fans.
Kind of change it a little bit.
Again, it's John Cena fans are making their voices heard. WWE fans supporting Cena now. And can John Cena feed off the momentum, perhaps?
Wait a minute.
Top or cross body.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and I think he got just a bit of him. And again, Punk did not get enough of Cena.
Wait a minute.
But I think Cena's hurt.
Could have hyperextended the knee right there.
I think John Cena is hurt.
And my God, when you hear this, like, it's very rare nowadays, especially, that you get a match in which fans are invested every single move. I'm not just talking the big moves or when you know the finish is coming, the fans start to come back, the big power moves, the flip-flops and flams that are now in WWE style today that the fans love, like Ricochet. I'm talking even a simple headlock, a submission that you know is probably not going to end the match, but you love the guy so much that you are rooting for, and you despise the guy that you are booing against so much that every move, every counter means something. That is extremely hard to do, to bring an audience in that emotional, in that type of emotional level. It certainly doesn't happen every time. I don't even know if it happens once a year. I mean, even at WrestleMania, just because you're at WrestleMania doesn't mean the fans truly care on that high of an emotional level. But in this case, boy, the crowd reaction, the match quality too, which I haven't really talked about much, the match quality itself, you take even the crowd reaction out of it, very good. These two had a chemistry the entire match, and they always have. CM Punk being technically sound. John Cena with his crazy power moves and his ring psychology, which I believe he has. Okay, believe it or not. They blended well. Their styles are different, which is good. There wasn't a whole lot of high spots and crazy flips. Imagine that. You can have a match that's safe, that the crowd cares about, and has high stakes, and that can still label as a five-star match. And there's not those 450 splashes and just insane moves. I'm not tarnishing today's product. It just, the wrestling product has to evolve. It just does. Think about what it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. Now, the wrestling product has evolved. That's just normal. So I'm not bashing today's product, although the lack of selling is a bit tiresome for the crazy moves that are done. It's all just registering and no selling, but it's something. There's something to be said for basic wrestling, going back to what it is, professional wrestling. And that's exactly what this was. This is a professional wrestling match with high stakes in a guy's hometown and an opportunity for the fans to use CM Punk as their platform for speaking because he was the voice of the voiceless. Loved it. It was just great. So let's get into the finish of this match, and then I'll discuss that as well. So that was the conclusion of the match, and Vince McMahon, who was playing the boss that didn't want an employee who was going to be leaving the company to win the WWE Championship on top of the fact that CM Punk was not his selected choice. He was never supposed to be there, and that is true. Like, that's the truth. You can put it in storyline, but boy, sometimes the best storylines are based in truth, and this one certainly was. It was great. Loved it. The reaction of the fans just absolutely elated, like Stone Cold returned and is going to face The Rock. It was great. I mean, when you look at back at the psychology of the match, it went 30 minutes plus. How often does that happen now? Unless you're Triple H, it was just so well laid out. And you got to give John Cena his due. This man knows how to perform. Wrestle. He knows how to bring a crowd in. He knows how to bring the crowd to a level that he can control the narrative, and he can help control the reaction. His timing is impeccable. John Cena, one of the best talkers of all time, up there with CM Punk. John Cena is and will always be one of the greatest of all time. I didn't say he's the greatest, one of. Y'all know who I think is the greatest. I don't need to reiterate that. But credit has to go where credit is due with John Cena here, and obviously CM Punk is the star of the show, but John Cena did his part. And this was a storyline based in reality that was brought on air, and there wasn't a whole lot of writing that had to be done with it because it was real. It was real. CM Punk's contract was indeed expiring. Did they, of course, probably sign him before the match to make sure that he actually really was going to be there past the deadline or to extend his contract? Of course. Maybe it was done weeks or months before that, but the storyline was that, hey, Punk's leaving, his contract is up, and I've got the WWE Championship, and I'm leaving with it. So, I mean, when you think about kind of the little bit of the, if you're going to put holes in this, the ridiculousness of this could be, okay, well, Punk takes the championship and leaves, and back then it was still the silly spinner belt. Fine, he's no longer an employee, he can keep the belt. That doesn't mean he's WWE champion anymore. We'll just hold a tournament and crown a new one. When you think about it, as if the prop of the belt itself is what actually makes somebody the champion, right? I mean, so there's a little bit of a plot hole there, but great storytelling. I mean, that's not something that I was critical of during that time. It's just with my proclivity to be critical of the product because I've been conditioned to do so over the last 10 years, specifically over the last five. It's just a little bit of a nitpicking, but great storyline, great match, great crowd, everything A plus here, and it was all well done, and one that I highly recommend. I'd put it on somebody's top 10 list of matches to watch if they're bored or want to see something that they haven't seen yet or just getting their feet wet in wrestling. Go check it out. John Cena, CM Punk, Money in the Bank 2011 at Chicago for the WWE Championship, where Cena gets fired if he loses, and CM Punk takes the championship and walks out of WWE holding that belt. So, okay. Well, one quick break, last break of the show. And after that, I'm going to give you guys some bonus content. It's a promo that I just love to this day, gives me chills to this day, makes me applaud to this day. And it's by an announcer. So stay right here, and we will take a listen to that right after this message. So here's something you guys should check out. It's Rotella Resale. Right now, they're having their online grand opening. It's an online shopping mall with thousands of items in over 25 product categories. Jewelry, tools, electronics, kitchen and bath, hand and tote bags, collectibles, sports and outdoor, a full smoke shop, and much more. Unlike those giant box stores or massive retail websites, Rotella Resale treats you like family. All products are brand new and authentic. Use promo code PRESS, that's P-R-E-S-S, and you'll receive 20% off your entire order. Sign up for their newsletter and receive an additional 20% off. Just check out RotellaResale.com, that's R-O-T-L-L-A. R-E-S-A-L-E, RotellaResale.com. Check it out today and get 20% off your entire order. Use that promo code PRESS. All right, guys. So let's talk about this clip here. And this is, of course, Joey Styles. And this happened when Joey Styles was working with The King, when Jim Ross was, again, fired and humiliated, as Joey Styles will say. This actually happened 13 years ago. May 1st, 2006 of Raw. And this was a promo that still rings true. The little bit of a backstory was that Joey Styles got in a scuffle with The King on air. They were joking. It became kind of serious. And Joey Styles grabbed the mic and went up the ramp and then went off about what and why he's leaving and says he quits at the end. And again, this isn't a spoiler. If you guys haven't heard this promo, my God, you are in for a treat right now. And it's real. It rings true to this day. It's awesome. It's also a confirmation of everything that Jon Moxley said in his interview about the creative with Jericho and, you know, that other big podcast out there. Everything that he said is confirmed here. Everything we believe about the product is confirmed. This felt real. I don't think there was anything fake here. I'm sure that it was somewhat pre-approved by Vince McMahon, but boy, it's brutal. It's great. It's honest, and it is steeped in truth. So take a listen, and let me know what you guys think about this one.
And now, of live television, I'm going to show the whole world why for 7 years in ECW, I was the unscripted, uncensored, loose cannon of commentary. Ago, WWE called me. I didn't call this company because I was looking for a job. I didn't need a job. WWE called me because they had humiliated and fired again Jim Ross. So I get JR's spot. And from week one, week after week, I've got an ongoing lecture about the differences in professional wrestling and sports entertainment. I'm not allowed to say pro wrestling. I'm not allowed to say wrestler. I have to say sports entertainment and refer to the wrestlers as superstars. I'm told to deliberately ignore the moves and the holds during the matches so I can tell stories. Well, ignoring the moves and the holds is damn insulting to the athletes, the wrestlers, not the entertainers, who leave their families 300 days a year to ply their craft in that ring. So here's the best part. Because I'm not a sports entertainment storyteller, I get pulled from WrestleMania. And the reason I'm given is because I don't sound like Jim Ross, who was the guy they fired in the first place. That makes sense, right? So I swallow the bitter pill. I'm a company guy. I get bumped from WrestleMania. Then I get bumped from Backlash. I'm not good enough to call Backlash. In ECW, I called live pay-per-views on my own, solo. No color commentators dragging me down. Wasn't done before me, hasn't been done since. But I'm not good enough to call Backlash because I'm not a sports entertainment storyteller. Well, you know what? I am sick of sports entertainment. I am sick of male cheerleaders. I am sick of boogers and bathroom humor and semen, and I am sick of our chairman, who likes to talk about his own semen. He mocks God. He mocks God and makes out with the divas, all to feed his own insatiable ego. I am sick of sports entertainment. And most of all, I'm sick of you fans who actually buy into that crap, this sports entertainment circus. I never needed this job, and I don't want this job anymore. I quit.
So if you guys have not heard that before, wow. You imagine that promo being cut today. Imagine that being cut today. This is pre-pipe bomb of CM Punk. Okay, so this is an era that this came, 5 years before CM Punk ever lit his pipe bomb and dropped it in Vegas? This was before its time. It was ahead of its time, rather. It was beautiful. Because you could apply this to today. If that promo was dropped today, imagine the fans' reaction. This is, don't forget too, prior to social media being a complete and utter game changer for the company and society. The WWE fans would get behind him. And I know he was trying to turn on the fans and play the heel that, at the end, ripping the fans for supporting the product. But he started to win the fans over even during that time when he was talking about Vince McMahon's ego and ignoring the moves and the holds in the ring to be deliberately told to do that and ignore or be told that this is sports entertainment, this isn't wrestling, and being told to tell stories in the ring rather than talk about what's going on in the ring. That theology, that practice still holds true today. How many times do we listen and watch Raw and you hear the commentators, Michael Cole and Renee Young and Corey Graves, talking about the story rather than talking about what's going on in the ring? Not all the time, and it's not 100% of the match, but it happens more often than not. And when you do that, guess what happens? You become disconnected from the actual match itself, which is how you're supposed to be emotionally engaged. Am I right? So this theology is still happening today. You know that it's the same lectures that these guys and gals now are getting. It's just hasn't gone anywhere. And I don't think it's going to go anywhere as long as Vince McMahon is breathing in and out of his lungs and he is still on this earth. It will still be that way. And we don't have to be ECW. That's not what I'm saying. I just loved that promo. And at the time, I didn't quite understand it. I was kind of confused by it, but I felt I agreed with it. It's not something that, again, if it happened today, it didn't get talked about nearly as much as it would have if it had happened in 2019. With the evolution of social media and how long the product has been up and down, down more often than up, and the tanking ratings and the podcasts that really reveal what's going on behind the scenes, which just does nothing other than to confirm the fans' belief of what actually it is like backstage and how the creative process works. Man, it's just way ahead of its time, and it should be something that is used as a tool to understand what the problem with the product is. I could not have said it better myself. Joey Styles was just, he hit every note. He hit every lyric. It was awesome. It was plain awesome. Lots of awesome stuff on this show today. Lots of real stuff on this show today. That's what I love. Real matches. Real promos from the real part of their brain and stomach. You could tell that was real. And you know everything Joey Styles said was real. You know he was getting lectured week in and week out about the differences between pro wrestling and sports entertainment. And that they're not wrestlers, they're superstars. Thank you. Thank you, Joey Styles. You have made me smile again tonight. I would really recommend you guys go watch that. I mean, not just listen to it as I gave you the audio from it, but just watch him talk. Because he believes everything he's saying, because it's true. It is damn, damn true, as Kurt Angle would say. So, guys, but that's the show for the Sunday. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, Money in the Bank 2011, CM Punk, Cena, check that one out. And the Joey Styles pipe bomb. That was the pipe bomb before there was a thing as such thing as a pipe bomb. Check that out, too. It is well worth your time. And again, it's something that rings true today. And I hope you guys take a listen. And I also thank you for listening to this show. Much appreciated, and I really do also enjoy being able to share these memories and reactions with you. And one little thing I also want to touch on is Renee Young's commentary. I somehow stumbled across Renee Young's reaction or response to some fans who, I don't know, were probably trashing her commentary. I don't think I've ever spoken about Renee Young's commentary on this show because there's really not a whole lot to dissect about it. Is she really good? No, she's not. Okay, she said she's not. She responded to a fan that said she's not. But it basically said it's not easy. And it's not. Renee Young is working through it. I remember how much I despised Byron Saxton when he first started. And now I think it has a lot to the show on SmackDown Live. I really do. I really, really, really do. And David Otunga, was also one that I said, get him the hell off. Booker, I said, get him the hell off. And while both guys are not anywhere near, I would say, the level of Jim Ross or Jerry the King Lawler or even Corey Graves, to be totally honest, you know, they have improved. And that's the key here, is that Renee Young's going to need time to improve. She's a female, which of course helps in a very diverse and publicly traded company to make sure there's diversity on the team. So the fact that she's female, of course, is helping her with staying power and not being booted off the commentary team. However, I believe in Renee Young's skills. She was one of the more enjoyable backstage interviewers. And I think that's just going to take time. She is dropping one-liners in her commentary on Raw that are a little bit sometimes cringeworthy. Sometimes they are added. They add value. It's just going to take time. And it's also not helpful when there's two other guys there. If it was just her and Cole, I think it would be easier for her to learn and navigate the waters than kind of being that third wheel that I'm sure she feels like. So I'm in Renee's corner. I think she is a very good talent. It's just a extremely big pickup and change for her from interviewing backstage to the commentary booth that you are live on the mic for 3 hours rather than just 5 minute segments. And when you have very specific things you want to ask and follow up on, you need to add to the matches, add to the storylines. And that's not easy to do, especially when you are just brand new, coming in with Michael Cole, who has like 25 years experience, Corey Graves, who picked it up like Kurt Angle did professional wrestling. And then you have Renee Young out there. Again, I'm sure she feels like the third wheel, but I think we need to give her a chance and not bury her every week. As long as she continues to improve and she puts the work in, I'm behind her and I support Renee. So, all right. Well, on that note, I'm going to ride off into the sunset, but don't forget, I'll be back on Tuesday with your Raw review, Wednesday with your SmackDown Live, and then Thursday I'll be joined this week by Anthony DeMarco, who we will be covering all the events that are WWE this week. And I'm sure as we get closer and closer to SummerSlam, which is just 2 weeks away, that we will have a lot to talk about. That's for sure. And also, don't forget that I'll be maybe debuting an NXT show, not with me, with another host of the WWE podcast that will be exclusive to NXT and NXT UK. So again, guys, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, follow up with me at the WWE podcast on Twitter. Of course, go to the website, WWEpodcast.com, or I'm on Instagram too at WWE podcast. I'm also on Patreon. If you guys want all these ads and plugs removed, guess what you do? Go to patreon.com/WWE podcast. There you can get all of my audio 100% ad-free for a completely seamless listening experience. So check out patreon.com/WWE podcast. And on that note, guys, I want to thank you for listening on this Sunday night or Monday morning or whenever you're listening. Enjoy your night, evening, morning, whatever. And of course, I'll talk to you next time.